Let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10, and we'll read the first 7 verses together. Then we're going to pray and ask for God to really minister. I'm expecting God to do a great work today. I always expect Him to, but I'm really expecting God to do a great work in His Spirit today. Here's why: because He loves you. And God has a work of the Spirit that He wants to do in your life. And if you want Him to do that work, He wants to do it. And when I know He wants to do it and you want it to be done, great things can happen, if you know what I mean. And so we're going to trust in God to do a great work today as we get into Acts chapter 19. But notice what it says: "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And so they said to him, 'Well, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And so they said, 'Into John's baptism.' And then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." Let's pray. Father, how we need the work of the empowering of the Spirit in our life. And I know for me what a life-changing message this was. Not specifically this passage, as much as the fact that you, with your Spirit, would come upon me and give me power, Lord, to live the Christian life and to be the witness that you've called me to be. And I needed that power. Lord, there are some believers here today who need that power. We all need it. But there are some here today who have never received it. And there are believers here today who need to be filled again anew. And I pray now that you would not only teach us by the power of your Spirit as we get into your word this morning, but Lord, I pray you would pour your Spirit out on this place, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I'm trusting in you, God, to do a great work, because you're the one that said it, and this is your word, and Lord, we ask you to move in a great way. We thank you, Jesus, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've entitled today, "Complete in the Spirit." And what do I mean by that? Well, over the years, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, when you give your life to the Lord, you get everything you're ever going to get. That's salvation. And while I do agree that God fully gave everything for us on the cross and all of the work of God is available in our life, the Scripture teaches that unless we ask and receive everything God has for us, that that's not exactly the case. Now, certainly you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. God is with you. God is in you. And God wants to do a work in your life. The moment you give your life to Christ, that's exactly what happens. But what these believers are going to find today in Ephesus is that although they had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and they had received Jesus as Lord, and although they had God with them and He was beside them, they still were missing something. They were lacking power in their lives. And some of you this morning, you would be just like those Ephesian Christians. If believers got around you, they would say, you know what? I know you love the Lord. I know you obviously know Him. You're serving Him. But there's something missing. What's missing? What is it? Oftentimes, the thing that's missing in your life is the being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is being filled with the Holy Spirit that gives you the power to turn from sin. It is being filled with the Holy Spirit that gives you the boldness that you need to share like you're supposed to share. And it is being filled with the Holy Spirit that makes you the man or woman of love that God wants you to be. And I believe that much of the church is lacking this work of the Spirit. And because of that, much of the church is lacking. Now, what do I mean by that? Again, the Bible in the New Testament talks about 3 different works of the Holy Spirit. I'm laying a foundation for these guys here in Ephesus. You'll see this makes sense in a moment. But there are 3 different works of the Holy Spirit that the Bible talks about. One is He will be in you. That is, when you receive Christ, He moves inside. It's the preposition and or word en, E-N. And that happens at the moment of salvation. You receive Christ, He lives within you, you're one with Him. There's another word that's used in the Greek language, the word para in the New Testament. It's another preposition. It means to be with. And that can happen to someone who's not even a believer yet. God can be with you, drawing you to Himself. So He is with you, drawing you. Then when you receive Christ, He is in you because you are now born again at salvation. But then there's a third work of the Spirit that the New Testament talks about that these men and disciples in Ephesus needed, that some of you, I believe, need today, and something I needed early on in my Christian walk, and that is the upon work of the Holy Spirit. It is a totally different word. It is the word epi, E-P-I. It means something from outside coming upon you, and it's used throughout the New Testament to describe power coming upon the believer. It's going to be the word used to describe what we're going to see today as we see these Ephesian believers, and there's something missing that Paul recognized quite obviously when he began to speak to them in their life, because you wouldn't just walk up to somebody and begin to say, hey, you know, when you gave your life to the Lord, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, obviously, we know there's the indwelling. And we also know that they would have known about the Holy Spirit. It's interesting they said we've not so much as even heard of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean they'd not heard of the Holy Spirit, what it means, and we know that because historically they would have all over the place. They were disciples of John. John taught about the Holy Spirit. Apollos had been teaching in Ephesus before he went to Corinth. Apollos was teaching about the Holy Spirit. Paul had been to Ephesus. As a matter of fact, this is Paul's third missionary journey. So now Paul, on his third missionary journey, goes back to Ephesus and finds a group of believers that have some confusion about the Holy Spirit. And that is what hopefully will be cleared up today. And hopefully what we know what Paul cleared up with them, but hopefully we can clear up with us today. And that is there was something missing in their life. They weren't complete in the Holy Spirit. Complete in Jesus? Yes. Completely saved? Yes. But not complete in the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, where we last left off, if you guys remember, Apollos had just been instructed more accurately in the way of the Lord by Aquila and Priscilla. And now we're going to see that Paul's going to instruct these believers more in the way accurately as well. And because of the context and because Apollos had been a teacher there in Ephesus, I believe it's dealing with the same subject. I believe Apollos' issue was understanding the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Aquila and Priscilla, they recognized something was missing in Apollos' life. He knew the Lord, he had his theology down, he was a great teacher, but there was no power. And I think now Paul sees the same thing in these guys as he heads to Ephesus. So let's just jump into it without any more intro. Notice it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Again, he was generally in Ephesus, but had gone there to visit, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I have that underlined. And so they said to him, well, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Now, Paul, again, traveling on the upper roads, the upper regions, comes down to Ephesus on this third missionary journey. And when he gets to Ephesus, again, Paul was always looking for believers. The first thing Paul finds is a group of believers. And yet, as Paul begins to hang around those believers, he notices something's different. You ever been around people that you notice something is different? Or you might even say, you know, something is missing here. Now, again, with me, it might be something mentally missing. But when you get around other believers, oftentimes it's simply saying, you know what? There's something about your life that doesn't seem complete in the Lord. I know that you know him. I can tell that. I know that you have all the things in place. But something is missing. This is now happening with Paul. Paul recognizes these guys as believers, but he recognizes that something is missing in their life, and he knows they need this power. And why would they need this power? Well, not just to be a witness to the outermost reaches of the world, but even here in Ephesus. Again, a little bit about Ephesus. Ephesus was the capital of the Roman province in this region. It was larger and richer than Corinth. It was the chief city in the promotion of emperor worship, which means it was a very dangerous place for Christians. Now, Mark, what was emperor worship? Glad you asked. Emperor worship was, the emperor said, you can have any religion you want as long as you worship me first. And what you had to do every year is you'd have to go and pinch incense to this emperor and say, Caesar is Lord. And then when you were done with that, you could go and be a Christian or be whatever you happen to be. That was fine. But you had to do that first. Well, that poses a real problem for believers, doesn't it? Because a believer is not going to say Caesar is Lord or anyone else is Lord, which, by the way, in the revived Roman Empire of the very last days, the Bible says prophetically, there'll be a revived Roman Empire. The Antichrist is going to rule the world, the Bible says, and I believe he's going to do the same thing. He's going to want people to worship him, but he's going to, I believe, say, you know what, you can be a Christian, you can be involved in Islam, you can be Buddhist, you can be Krishna, you can be whatever you want, but you worship me first. And then at some point in that process, actually 3.5 years into that process, the Bible says he'll say, you only worship me, that's it. You can't worship anyone else, and you bow down to me. And of course, that's when it's really going to get ugly. But we see they did this in that day. And so for believers, they needed to have this extra power. In addition, it was a very wealthy city. There was a lot of money there, a lot of temptations. It was the center for Oriental superstition and magic, which means they were very spiritual. Have you noticed we live in a very spiritual nation today? Ask people, well, I'm spiritual. Yes, but do you know Jesus? Well, you don't have to know Jesus to be spiritual. Let me say that is true. You do not have to know Jesus to be spiritual. There's a lot of false and wrong spirits out there. You only have to know Jesus to be right. And so the difference is there. Yes, we're a very spiritual place. This is what it was like in Ephesus. They also were famous. They had one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Diana. Now, Diana was this multi-breasted image that they made that was considered to be the goddess of fertility. We would say today, basically, the goddess of sex, and basically was an excuse to live an immoral and lewd lifestyle and call it worship. And of course, that brought travelers from all over the world. They would come and party there and be drunk there and have, you know, and go and worship, if you will, and maybe try to calm their conscience a little bit about the life of debauchery they were living. But this is the environment these believers were in. And so Paul realized, look, you guys need all the help you can get. And I want to say this, I believe the environment that we live in today in America, we need all the help we can get. Does anybody agree with that? Guys, we need all the help. I need everything that God has for me. I don't need just Sunday morning or Wednesday night or even just other believers. That's all wonderful, and that's a part of the element, a part of the scheme. But guys, we need the Holy Spirit, and we need God's power to empower us so we can be those witnesses and be bold and be that light and share. And so this is what Paul was recognizing, and this was the problem here with these particular believers. Now, remember I said earlier that many people believe and say that we get everything we get at the time we give our life to the Lord. If it was true that we got all of the work of the Holy Spirit at salvation, then why would Paul walk up to a group of believers and say, excuse me, do you have the Holy Spirit? That's a very odd question to ask, because the obvious answer is, look, the moment you give your life to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't even have to ask. You don't even have to do anything. You simply receive it. And so this is something very specific that Paul is getting at. They need the power of the Holy Spirit. They're lacking that in their life. And we're going to see that's exactly what Paul does here in just a moment with these disciples. And again, I point out that they were already disciples. Basically, what he's saying to them was, do you have the work of the Holy Spirit going in your life in fullness? And they're saying, we haven't even heard that it's available. And there might be some of you today who have things that are missing in your life. Maybe you've not even heard this is available, or maybe you've been afraid of this work of the Spirit in your life. I recognize there have been a lot of abuses of what is called the Holy Spirit in the church today. Again, we see a lot of it on TV, we see a lot of it on stage, we see a lot of people, you know, throwing jackets and blowing on people and doing all kinds of things that the Bible doesn't say we're to do at all. And because the thinking Christian sees that, they go, wait a minute, that can't be of God. The problem is, no, God is working, but they're doing it the wrong way. And so we find ourselves in a situation oftentimes where we're not even saying, God, I want a greater work of the Holy Spirit in my life. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need this empowering. Now, it's interesting here, the word here that Paul uses when he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? The word receive there is the word in the language that is lambano, and it literally means to take or to bring under one's own initiative. That is, it's offered to you, but you've got to take it. And that is what's different about this third working of the Holy Spirit. God is with you whether you ask for Him to be with you or not. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you, that other work of the Spirit, the moment you give your life to Christ. However, and although there are exceptions where God pours everything out at one time, the majority of the time of what we see in Scripture and the majority of the time in believers' lives, what I've witnessed is this third work of the Spirit, the empowering, is something that comes after you ask. And that is exactly the word that's used here by Paul. Did you receive it? Did you ask for it? Did you take it? When I first gave my life to the Lord, I lived several months as a believer, knowing the Lord, walking with God, but I had no power in my life. And I remember hearing about the power of the Holy Spirit, and I, like you, was a little bit apprehensive about it, but I remember saying, Lord, I want everything you have. I need everything you have. You know, sometimes God gives me everything I have, you know, I'm thinking, God, I need even more, you know, I need a lot of help. But God, again, poured His Spirit out on me after I'd given my life to the Lord, and He gave me a new power. He not only gave me an ability to teach, He gave me the boldness to do it. And He gave me the boldness to share. And some of you this morning said, there's some missing element in my life. There's something that I don't have. I don't have that boldness. I don't have any of the gifts of the Spirit. You need God to come upon you. You need Him to come upon you with the power of your Holy Spirit. But note this, you need to receive it and take it. Now, we pointed this out again a couple of weeks ago. But if you're going to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you an opportunity before we're done today at the end of the Bible study to do that. You need to be a vessel that's clean that God can land on. Now, what do I mean by that? You remember when Noah, a beautiful picture of Noah, when Noah sent out the raven and he sent out the dove. It was interesting. The raven went out, and ravens in Scripture are a type of the demonic realm. And he sends out this raven, and I know it was a literal raven and a literal dove, but bear with me for the symbolism here and the analogy. He sends out the raven, and the raven landed the first place it found something dead. There was a dead carcass floating in the ocean. Whatever it was he found, he was able to land and begin to feast and devour. And that's exactly what Satan does today. He can land anywhere where there's dead meat. And if we are dead in the spirit and we are dead in our lives, if there's something that's a stench around us that is not of the Lord, he is more than willing to be involved in our life and to land right there and just begin to devour our lives. Some of you have experienced that. But it's interesting, when the dove found no place to rest, it came back, and as it came back down to Noah, he came back down to Noah, and it says that Noah reached out his hand and received the dove and took the dove into himself. The raven just stayed gone. He was fine with the dead stuff. But the dove needed something that was safe, something that was acceptable, a place that was inviting, a place where there was purity and life. And I know I'm taking the analogy a little far, but bear with me on this. I believe in order for God to pour out the Holy Spirit, which is representative in Scripture of the dove, you've got to be a clean vessel. Now, some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, I know I'm a sinner. I can't be a clean vessel. Look, I'm not standing up here saying that I'm Mr. Holy. As a matter of fact, I have found truly what Paul said to be true in my life. The more I walk with God, the dirtier I see that I am, the uglier my heart. Some of you cringe at that. My pastor says that it's hard. No, what I'm saying is God exposes my heart all the more the closer I get to him and the longer I walk with him. And Paul got to the point to where Paul said, you know what? This is Paul the apostle. He said, I am not just a sinner. I am the chief of sinners. Now, compared to us, what do you think Paul was like? And if Paul was the chief of sinners, what does that make me? The chief of sinners? I don't know. But the bottom line is what was happening in Paul's life was, as God was working in Paul's life and showing him his holiness more, Paul realized how wicked the heart is without God. And so my point is simply this. None of us are going to be pure enough on our own to please God. It's a matter of saying, God, forgive me of my sins and repenting. And you have to repent of your sin. And then once you repent of your sin, then say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Some of you have said, I've prayed that for years, but I've never had anything happen in my life. Let me ask you this. Two things. Have you prayed from your heart, number one? And number two, have you really repented? You know, it's amazing to me. A lot of people don't even know what the word repentance means today. When I say repentance, they kind of look at me like, well, what does that mean? Go to church? No. Repentance literally is a word that means you turn away 180 degrees. You turn your back on all known sin in your life. I'm no longer going to do that. I'm turning away. I'm turning to Jesus. And you don't just turn from something. You turn to someone. And that is you turn to the Lord. And if you do that and then say, now, God, now come upon me. That dove can alight. There's a safe place where you can take out and receive and bring that dove into the ark of your heart, that life where you can now have the Spirit working. And this, again, is what Paul wants to see in their lives and what we need to see in our lives. And so notice that he said, we haven't even heard verse 3. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Now, remember, we talked about John's baptism a couple of weeks ago. It was a water baptism. It was a baptism done by man. We're having one next week. There's going to be a water baptism out at the cove. There's going to be a baptism done by man out at the cove. But guys, that's not all that God has for you. Jesus said, you know, John said, I baptize you with water. But he said, there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that is the Messiah. He has a specific baptism that he reserves for himself. It's a baptism of liquid water, if you will. It's a baptism of himself. You know, it's interesting to make the parallels and the differences. When I do the baptisms, and we used to do them up here in the river. Now we do them out at the cove, which is a lot warmer. Praise the Lord for that. I like that better. But I'm not even the one having to go under, right? I go up to my waist. I'm thinking, oh, I got, how much farther do I need to go? Oh, man, this guy's tall. Okay, we're going to go a little more, you know, because I'm just gradually getting cold as I'm going in there. It's not that bad, but you get the point. And then what'll happen is, man, the believers, they give their life to the Lord. They're fired up. I'm fired up with them. Everybody wants to hug. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. If you get baptized next week, don't say, I'm not going to hug him because he's used it. No, it's great. I love it. Well, my point is simply this. I'm not wet from here up. So when we hug, I go, ooh, I'm born again too, right? You know, we're both alive right now, okay? But here's the point I'm making. When someone else is wet from baptism and they hug you, it can't help but get on you. And when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you begin to love other people around you, they're going to go, because you're going to get on them. And that is exactly what was not happening with this believers here. Paul met them and nothing was getting on him. And he's like, hey, what's up, guys? Did you guys receive the Spirit? What's going on here? Has anybody, we didn't even know. Well, let me tell you about it. And that's the whole point of this. So they were into John's baptism, but not the baptism of the Lord. And so then Paul said to them, well, John indeed baptized a baptism of repentance, that is repentance and water. We talked about that, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So his was a water baptism. It was a baptism of repentance, but it was about Jesus who was going to come afterwards. And yes, we need the water baptism, but we need the baptism of the Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit baptism as well. And notice this, verse 5, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now stop here for a moment, because this is very interesting to me. Look what we have. We have disciples in Ephesus who are believers and who have now been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you think they're saved? You better believe it. There's nothing else required. Believing in Jesus, being baptized in his name, and receiving him as Lord. Here's what's amazing to me. At this point, they're not ready. At this point, they're not complete. They're completely saved. They're completely ready for heaven. But Paul says, we're not done yet. We're not done. You need what I notice is missing in your life, and you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, some of you this morning are in the same place. You know the Lord. You've given your life to him. You've been baptized in his name, but you've not yet been baptized by him. And the Lord would say to you this morning, even as Paul to these believers in Ephesus, well, we're not stopping here. We're not ending the service now. I want to pray and ask God to come upon you with his Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what Paul's going to do. And this is what we're going to do in just a moment. Because you need the fullness of the Spirit to be able to do all that God has called you to do. And notice verse 6 now with these believers, what happens? And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Guess what word that is in the language? It's that third word we talked about there of the Holy Spirit, the EPI, the upon. That is something from without coming upon. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Well, Mark, I was with you up to that point, but after this speaking in tongues thing and prophesying, you know, we're checking out. Here's what I think happens to a lot of believers. I think we look at the gifts of the Spirit and sometimes we freak out. And because we're afraid of the gifts of the Spirit, we think, well, I don't want to pray for that. I don't want that to happen to me. Guys, notice this. The Lord is never going to make you look foolish when it comes to the work of the Spirit. God has different gifts. Yes, he has a gift of tongues. Yes, he has a gift of prophecy. Yes, he has a gift of teaching and preaching and evangelism and all these different gifts that it talks about in 1 Corinthians. All of those are available. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. You can have those today. It says in Corinthians that they'll be taken away one day when we're in heaven, when we see the Lord face to face. But until then, God has given them to help us, and we need all the help we can get. Picture it as in you're trying to build a home. It'd be nice to have a toolbox, wouldn't it? And yet a lot of Christians walk around without toolboxes going, why can't I build my Christian life? Why can't I seem to grow? Why can't I mature? Why can't I be free of that sin? Why can't I share my faith effectively? Maybe your toolbox needs the main tool it should have after salvation, and that is power. And so we need this power. We need this working in our life here. And so Paul, again, lays hands on them. The Holy Spirit comes upon them and they prophesy and speak in tongues. Don't let that scare you. Receive whatever God has and know that the Lord is in control of the gifts that you get. God does that. Man doesn't do it. And nobody can teach that gift either, or any of the gifts. You can't teach the gifts or how to get them. It's simply seeking God. Here's what I encourage you to do. As we're praying today, and say, God, I want everything you have for me in the Spirit. I want you to empower me in your Spirit, and I want you to give me all the gifts you want me to have. And I would go even farther than that. I would say, God, give me not just what you want me to have, what I want. Give me everything, you know. I'll take it all, you know. Just open up the spigot of heaven and pour it out. And God knows what we need, and God will give those gifts. I can say the gifts that God gave me when I was filled with the Spirit, I'm very thankful for, because they all serve a purpose. And as you study 1 Corinthians, you'll see the purpose that they serve. And I need each and every one of those things that God gave to me. And sometimes I feel like I need, like I said, even more than that. But the Lord knows. And notice when Paul laid hands on them, tongues of prophesy, it was about, it says about 12 men in all. And I find it interesting. You know me, I'm always looking at every word and every number in Scripture, because the Bible says that every bit of it is God-breathed. And if God is going to breathe something on paper for me to read, that makes it important to me. And so he breathed out that there were 12 there. Why is that significant to me? Because in Scripture, the number of 12 means governed over. It's the number of God's governing. 12 tribes of Israel to govern over the people of Israel. You go all through the Scripture and see it. Why do I say that, and why is that important here? Because I believe the Holy Spirit strategically had 12 people there that we might catch the message. If you want God to completely govern your world, you want him to completely govern your life, not people around you, not the events, not the world. You want God to govern it. Then you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to have the Holy Spirit come upon you and give you power. And when you do that, God will become your governor, if you will. So about 12 men in all. And it says, and Paul then went, look at verse 8, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Now, Paul was already bold. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to zip by this without pointing this out. One of the results of being filled with the Spirit is boldness. The biggest result is love. We should love one another. If we're filled with the Spirit, one of the manifestations is love. But boldness comes with it. And if you're lacking love today and you're lacking boldness today, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul here is sharing in boldness. Notice this, for 3 months, which, by the way, for Paul is a miracle and an achievement, because usually when Paul went to a town, he had about a week or two until they kicked him out. And so they were at least open to hear what Paul was saying. I don't know if Paul got smarter in the way he presented it or whether or not they were just more open. But the sad thing is, notice they hardened their hearts. Look at verse 9. But when some were hardened, and that means by choice, they chose to harden their heart, and that's what people do. They either believe or they choose to harden their heart. When they did this and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way, again, that's speaking of Jesus and his church. Jesus said, I am the way. When they spoke evil of the way before the multitude, that is all the people, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. You know, again, this goes to that principle, not throwing pearls to swine. And Paul knew that. It's one thing to be sharing with people, but when they begin to mock, and especially to mock publicly about the Lord, guys, just get out of there. Leave them alone. God can work in their heart how he wants to, when he wants to, but we need to leave them alone, because all it's going to do is drag the name of the Lord through the mud and give them an opportunity to say things that are blasphemous against the Lord. And so Paul decides, you know what, I'm going to leave you guys because you don't want to hear it. I'm going to go somewhere where they do want to hear it. I'm going to start a study over here in the school of Tyrannus. And those of you who want to come over here and you want to learn about the Lord, you want to be a disciple, then join me. Now, what was this school of Tyrannus? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot, but we do have some extra biblical information about him. He was a philosopher, it would appear, in the Ephesus region. And up until 11 o'clock in the day, he would philosophize. And then after 4 o'clock, he would continue on to do his philosophy. But between 11 and 4, it got so hot in Ephesus, the entire city, they would take a siesta. Everybody would go home and get out of the heat because it was so incredibly hot during that time. And Paul said, wait a minute, you've got this great lecture hall. Nobody's in it between 11 and 4. Yes, I know it's hot, but if you want to hear the Word of God, then come over here and we're going to disciple and get in the Word of God. And this didn't even strike me until this morning how awesome this is. Paul was not only willing to go and spend 5 hours every day for 2 years discipling those who wanted to be discipled, he did it in the heat of the day. So Paul was committed, and those who wanted to have the word of the Lord, they were committed as well. Paul's there teaching and reasoning in this school of Tyrannus, and notice it says in verse 10, and this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now this is amazing here to me. Paul is there teaching the word of God faithfully for 2 years, and it is so effective. This one man spreading the gospel. I know Apollos and others were now spreading in different areas, but predominantly Paul on his journeys as he planted all these churches, and now the helpers that God is raising up with him, the entire region of Asia was reached with the gospel. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the entire world was reached with the gospel in Paul's day. Note that. The entire world was preached the gospel in Paul's day. Did you realize today we have not preached the gospel to the entire world? Now, of course, back then they had the internet and telephones and satellite, and they flew in planes and they had trains. They had all those modern things that would make it easier, which we don't have today. You know the difference? You can have all the internet, all the TVs, all the travel, all the phones, all the media avenues. And if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, it will do you no good. But on the other side, you cannot have the internet. You cannot have phones. You cannot have travel. You cannot have all these things and reach the entire world with the Holy Spirit. Which one do you think we need more in our day? Guys, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of you guys are walking in weakness. You're not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. I'm not talking about personal weakness. I'm talking about in the Spirit. You need God's power to do what he's called you to do. God's calling some of you guys to rise up and teach. He's calling some of you guys to hit the streets and be a witness. He's calling some of you guys to start studies on your own. He's calling some of you guys to get involved in ministry here. And you're afraid. And you're saying, I don't have the power and I don't have the ability. I can't speak like Pastor Mark can speak. If you knew me, I don't speak that good. The bottom line is, God has given you what you need, but you need power to make it happen. You need power for this to happen in your life. And I want to ask you as we finish today, I want to ask you the same question that Paul asked those believers in Ephesus. Did you receive the Holy Spirit, that is the empowering, the fullness, the complete work of the Holy Spirit, when you believed? Did you? I know he came in you. I realize that. I know that he was with you. But did he come upon you? Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us as we finish. And I want to do three things. Number one, I want to give us an opportunity to ask the Lord to forgive us and to repent. Because I believe in order for the Holy Spirit to truly fill us and come upon us, guys, we need to be broken before the Lord and honest and saying, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm not pretending I'm not, but I not only ask your forgiveness, I'm going to stop doing it. I'm moving out from my girlfriend today. I'm throwing the beer out the back door today. I'm not going to get drunk anymore. I'm doing away with the drugs. I'm doing away with relationships with women or men outside of marriage. Whatever the case might be, it might even be a smaller sin. Lord, I know that I've not been faithful as I should be to love my wife or love my husband or be in the word or be in prayer. Not legalistic things, but just things that God says you need to be doing these things. So wherever you are and whatever you've done, I want to give us a moment to ask forgiveness and let God cleanse us. But don't just use your lips. Lips are cheap. Use your heart. This is where it is, guys. I used lips growing up till I was 25 years old. I haven't prayed some prayers. It meant nothing. It wasn't until it was from right here. It's got to be real. And if it's real, he knows it and you'll know it. And say, God, forgive me and I'm going to repent. And then you go and you leave today and you take care of business. If you've got to go home and throw something away, you go throw it away. If you've got to call somebody up and say, I can no longer have a relationship with you because we're doing something wrong before the Lord, then you do that. Whatever you've got to do, you take care of business today. And if you purpose in your heart to do that and say, God, now I want you to empower me because I want to be a witness for you in the days in which we live, God will come upon you and empower you. He's been doing it for 2,000 years. He's not going to stop doing it now. He's been doing it longer than that with the prophets. So we'll do that first, and then I'm going to pray for those who want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to receive it, and then pray for the believers to be filled fresh who need to be refreshed today. Because those of you like myself that have already been filled with the Spirit, the Bible says we need to be filled on a regular basis. Ephesians 5:18, be ye continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we leak. When Jesus was walking and the woman grabbed his robe, he said, I felt power go out of me. And if the Lord, as he did ministry, felt power go out of him, how much more do we need power coming back in? And that's why the Lord sought his Father every day and asked to be filled every day and prayed and got in the Word every day and why we need to be doing it. Let's pray right now. Let's just give God opportunity to work. Father, I want to first of all come to you, Lord, and just confess to you that we are sinners. And I'm not trying to be necessarily offensive to anyone in this room who might think they're not, but I know I am. And your word says everybody in this room is a sinner, every one of us. We need to be forgiven. And Lord, not only forgiven, some of us need to be filled with the Spirit today. And as long as we're grieving your Spirit, I don't believe that's going to happen. So Lord, I pray you begin to move in hearts. And right now, as we're praying around this room, you begin right now between you and God to ask forgiveness of your sin. Ask God to forgive you and specifically name the sin that you know you need to repent of. And then you tell God, you're going to turn from that. You're done with that. You're finished. And if you mean that from your heart and do it, then God's going to forgive you and God's about to fill you with his Spirit. So let's do that. Just pray, continue to pray and ask God to do that. Thank you, Lord. Father, you hear the cries of your people. You know those that are sincere in their heart. And you have something for them, the promise of the Father today, an empowering of the Spirit. And if that's you and you say, you know what, I've never been filled with the Spirit. I've never had God come upon me. He's in me, he's with me, but I've never had him come upon me. And I've never seen that change of power and love in my life. Then right now, I want you to begin to ask God, say, God, come upon me with your Holy Spirit. Just pray that in your heart. Come upon me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. That I might be filled with your love. And that I might be filled with boldness to be your witness. And now by faith, believer, just receive it by faith. Receive it. Don't look for lights to flash. Just receive all that God has for you. Let him know you want everything he has. Tell him that, everything he has. Lord, I want everything you have for me. If there's any new gifts you want to give me today, I pray right now, God, you give me that gift or those gifts. I pray for my brothers and sisters. If there's any new gifts you want to give them or first-time gifts, you give them to them today as you pour your Spirit on this place. God, move in power and pour out your Spirit. We receive, Lord. We don't reject. We receive you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let this be a place you can descend and that you'll be taken in into this home, into this ark. Lord, you're welcome. Father, I pray for the believers here that need to be filled fresh today. They're just run down, tired, beat up, hurting, confused. Maybe none of those things, but just needing a fresh fill of the Spirit. But wherever you are as a believer in this room, if that's you, then now ask God to come upon you and fill you fresh. Ephesians 5:18, be filled continually. Just tell him, Lord, fill me now. I need more. I need to be filled fresh. Lord, I ask you to fill me right now, fresh with your Spirit. And I pray you'd fill all the family here gathered, fresh with your Holy Spirit. We receive it by faith, Lord. And Father, I know that you didn't just give the Spirit so that we could receive and have tingly feelings or even be more loving and have power, but you gave us the Spirit so that we would be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. So God, fill us now and let us go out and do something with that new power. Let us share. Give us that boldness and let us, God, recognize that power and be your witnesses so that, God, we can be a shining light in this dark world today. Father, I thank you for the work of your Spirit this morning. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.